And as far as a smaller business, a perfect example of is a wind down is a lot of these small businesses, their only debt obligation is an EIDL loan under $200,000. There's no personal guarantee. Those cases are great for a wind down. The other option is to wind down the business, and then maybe the individual still ends up filing bankruptcy. So while not quite a total bankruptcy alternative, the business winds down and the individual files for a Chapter 7 or a Chapter 13. And there was recently a major increase to the debt limit in a Chapter 13. It went up to $2.75 million effective June of 2022, and there's no longer a bifurcation between general and unsecured debt. That does sunset in June of 2024. And then the only other thing to think about is sometimes using it as a tool for these small business owners. We have a lot of clients coming into our office with these merchant cash advances, which are thinly disguised as secured creditors. They sell, the debt, the client sells their future receivable, so the creditor claims a secured status. We have had success putting the individual into bankruptcy where they don't want to wind down the business, and that has allowed them to leverage negotiation with those merchant cash advance lenders who were taking thousands of dollars on a daily or weekly basis. The next alternative out-of-court option is the do-nothing approach. It may sound crazy, but there are those consumer individuals who are what we call judgment-proof. Their sole source of income is Social Security. All of their assets are exempt. They can do nothing. Their only reason for filing bankruptcy would be peace of mind and to renew their credit history. And then sometimes, from a consumer perspective, the option is do nothing for as long as possible and allow the statute of limitations to run. This is most often the case with our high-income debtors who don't want to go into a 100% repayment plan for 5 years and are hoping to outrun some of their creditors long enough to reduce the amount of creditors and hopefully the amount paid over a five-year plan. The next option that we're going to talk about out of court, non-bankruptcy alternative, is composition. Deborah, talk to us about that.
So two things. Well, a composition is basically an agreement between the debtor and some creditors saying, here, this is what we're going to do. It's a contract. For those of you who do know me for a long time, you'll know that sometimes I get obsessed about cases. And my newest case that I'm just fascinated by is a non-bankruptcy decision. It's Stream TV Networks versus C Cubic. It's 22 Westlaw 214-9437. It's a decision out of the Delaware Supreme Court reversing the Chancery Court. I'm going to talk about it because it's got everything. It's got a composition agreement, it's got a UCC foreclosure, and it has a receiver. I mean, what more can you ask for over 2 years, right? But in this case, the secured creditors got together with the company. Company formed an independent board. The board decided to reach what they called an omnibus agreement, and in that agreement, basically, it said, hey, we're going to create a new entity. We're going to transfer the assets. At this time, Stream TV was insolvent, failing, and we're going to give the minority shareholders a chance to buy into the new company. The company agreement actually gave voting control to the holders of what they said Class B. The holders of Class B decided they were offended by what happened, and they took this decision to court. The Chancery Court said, hey, yeah, your corporate documents require shareholder approval for sale of substantially all the assets, but there's this insolvent failing debtor exception where the board could approve the transfers. Now, this is a composition agreement, right? He says, nope, it's good. You're golden. They implement the agreement. They take it up on appeal. The Delaware Supreme Court says, 2 years later, no. Your composition agreement, your omnibus agreement, it's unenforceable because under your corporate governance documents, you're required to have shareholder approval in order to transfer this, and the Class B group didn't vote for it. We're going to send it back. And you'll hear more about this case. But what the short answer is, for a composition agreement, it's a contract, and it's subject to all the challenges that you could have for any contract. And sometimes those challenges are successful, and sometimes they're not. And so I think that what we were saying, we were talking about, and we really can't tell you a lot about composition agreements because they're all different, but there's a lot of risk, and there's probably no finality in them.
As far as a consumer perspective, there's not really anything similar to a composition other than debt settlement, which is negotiate individually with creditors. Typically, the individual would have to default prior to entering to negotiations. The settlements can be a lump sum or stream of payment. and any cancellation of debt is taxable. This is often not a preferred non-bankruptcy option for my clients. It usually makes more sense to put them into bankruptcy. So now we're going to discuss statutory options, and we're going to start with UCC Article 9 sales. Deborah?
So UCC Article 9, obviously it's a remedy available only to secured creditors and only a remedy as to the assets in which they have a lien. There are generally three categories that you'll kind of hear about for UCC foreclosures. There's the unfriendly, which often can involve self-help. There is the friendly, yeah, I'm not going to oppose you foreclosing. And then there's the sale to a third party, you know, akin to a 363 without any of the protections of a 363, essentially. Self-help, we describe in the materials a lot of the limitations, what's called breaching the peace and what's not breaching the peace. Practice HIP, you don't want to breach the peace. But it's interesting when you look at the cases, what constitutes breach of the peace and what doesn't. So you can, as long as you're not having to break and enter, you're not having to, you know, tear down a gate, you could, in theory, under one case, go on and disable, for example, a forklift if you have a lien on that forklift, on that piece of collateral. You can disable it so they cannot remove it, sell it, or otherwise dispose of it. If that forklift is inventory, then you probably can't do that because you probably don't have a specific lien on that specific piece of inventory. I was surprised. I thought that would be a breach of the peace, but it's not. It's just enforcing your rights.